In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus goes to the house of Simon Peter and Andrew. And when he gets there, he's immediately called to the bedside of Simon Peter's mother-in-law, who's in bed with a fever. And he goes to this woman's room, and you can imagine that she has her concerns about this Jesus character. After all, he had called her son-in-law out of his boats, away from his nets, out of fishing, away from his work, and she probably would have been asking Simon, now how exactly is it that you expect to take care of my daughter? How do you expect to take care of this household if you're going to be leaving fishing behind and following this would-be Messiah around the countryside of Galilee? What kind of son-in-law are you after all? What kind of husband does this? You can imagine there would have been a little bit of tension between mother-in-law and son-in-law at this point in their relationship. But Jesus comes to her bedside. He takes her by the hand and he lifts her up out of her fever, out of her fears, out of her bed. And he returns her to the work of her house. She gets up and she begins to serve them. That part of the story always struck me as a little bit comical. Simon Peter and his brother Andrew have some friends over, and they get hungry, so they ask Peter, is there anything to eat at the house? And Peter says, I don't know, I'll go ask Mom. Well, Mom's sick. So Jesus solves the problem. He wakes up Mom, gets Mom out of bed, cures her fever so she can make them all sandwiches. She gets up and she serves them. It just always struck me as a little bit comical, a little bit strange. Some people might call it a little bit sexist, I don't know. But it's included for an important reason. It's included for an important reason. And it's not just because it's kind of silly. In these early chapters of Mark's gospel, we find Jesus over and again calling people not away, but home. Calling people home. Simon and Andrew and James and John leave their nets behind, they leave their boats behind, they leave their work behind, and they follow Jesus, right? But in this story today, where is Simon? Where's Andrew? They're at Simon's house with Simon's mother-in-law, dealing with someone who probably is a little bit irritated with her son-in-law right now. In a few verses at the start of chapter 2, Jesus will heal a paralytic man. And what will he say to him? Get up, take your mat, and go home. Go home. And then just after that, Jesus will call Levi. In the other Gospels, we call him Matthew. Jesus will call Levi, who was a tax collector, and he'll call him away from his tax booth. And in the very next scene, where is he? He's serving Jesus a meal in his home. Jesus called him home. He does this over and again at the beginning of Mark's gospel. And here, he raises Simon's mother-in-law in her home. And what's more, she goes about serving her guests. Right? This is her home, after all. She's the matriarch of the family. And keeping her house and serving her guests is part of what she does daily. Jesus doesn't just bring this woman home. He places her back in her vocation, back in the things that she did every day. He restored her back into the work she had known and done for years. That's an important message, I think. Because very often we read stories like those of the apostles. We read stories about Peter and about Paul and the others, and they're called to go out and preach the gospel all over. Paul gets sent halfway across Europe in order to bring the gospel, hoping to make it to Rome someday, but he's all over the place, moving from one town to the next, preaching here, starting a church there, writing letters back to this place. Paul's all over the map. We can read stories like that, and we can think that That is what real Christian work looks like. Leaving it all behind and following Jesus boldly to the far reaches, wherever they might be. Or we might spiritualize this and make it a very, very spiritual story about how we as Christians are making a journey from here to heaven. But in any case, what ends up happening with the story of Jesus and what ends up happening with the way that we picture our faith and understand our faith is that it's always about moving from where we are to someplace else. It's always about movement. It's always about moving toward a goal. Jesus Christ becomes a goal that is somewhere out there, calling us to where he is, telling us to move away from where we are to wherever he might be. But stories like this one and the other ones that begin Mark's gospel give us a much clearer and much fuller picture of what it is to be called into the service of Christ Jesus. It fills this picture out for us. It's a picture that is not tied up in spiritual heroics, but in much simpler stuff. Because here we are told that often being called by Jesus means simply being called back home, back to the things of your boring life, right? Laundry, cooking, bills, clock punching, whatever it is that you do day to day. That being called by Jesus means being called back into these things. I'm a big fan of old Western TV shows. When I was a kid, I used to love watching Gunsmoke at night. My parents wanted me to be in bed, but we had, there was a nice sight line from the top of the stairs right to the television, and you could kind of peek around the corner. And if you were real quiet, my dad liked to listen to the TV loud, so it was easy to hear. But if you were real quiet, Dad wouldn't hear you watching Gunsmoke behind him when you were supposed to be in bed. So this is a thing that I did a lot of nights out of the week until I was caught. I did the same thing with Bonanza. Bonanza was sometimes on. Bonanza came on after the 10 o'clock news often, I think. They had it at 9:30, and then I think they moved it to 10:30. So I had to stay up a little bit later, but it was worth it. When I was in seminary, one of the guys on my floor in the dormitory owned every episode of Have Gun, Will Travel on DVD. I loved that show. It's an awesome show. But I also like new Western TV shows. Justified is a show that Kat and I have watched together. Just finished its run a couple of years ago. And it's a lot of fun too. And I think about the difference sometimes between a show like Have Gun, Will Travel and Justified. In Have Gun, Will Travel, Paladin, who's the main character, is a hired gun, and he goes from town to town solving people's problems, taking care of the bad guys. And of course, in every town, he leaves another poor young girl swooning for him, pining after him when he goes. But he always goes, right? He always goes on to the next place, on to the next bad guy, on to the next town to solve the next problem. He never stays anywhere very long, so he gets to be mysterious, right? He gets to be just kind of a gun and a hat and a, you know, tall drink of water standing in the corner, taking down the bad guy. And that's who he is to people. In Justified, Raylan Givens is a U.S. Marshal who's called back to his home area to serve in the Marshal's office that provides service for his hometown. And one of the central themes, one of the central questions of the show is, how does Raylan serve and do his job faithfully alongside people who know him really well? Alongside people who remember old hurts from high school, who know that his daddy was a criminal, who, you know, have all these memories of him, people who changed his diapers. How do you serve as a U.S. Marshal among people who know you that well? That's a central question for us too, I think. Not how do you, I don't think, we don't have any U.S. Marshals in the congregation, but how do I serve faithfully? How do I follow Jesus? Here. Especially if I've been here for a while and people know me. Being called away one place after another, doing a mission here, serving a congregation there, the way that a pastor or a mission worker might, is one thing. I think it's an easier thing to a certain extent. It's a whole other challenge to confess Jesus Christ in the same place, day after day, year after year, standing next to the same sinners you've stood next to for years, being remembered for your old sins and remembering other people's old sins. That's another challenge altogether. It's one thing to get to start over. It's another thing to have to live with each other. Confess the faith with one another when there are old hurts and old memories and all that baggage. Being called home is hard because people know you there. This is, I think, why people like to leave home after high school and go off to college someplace else. It's why people like to church hop. It's why people like to just move every now and again. They get the itch because they think they can reinvent themselves. It's another chance to start all over again, leave the old sins behind, and make myself anew. When the people of God buy into this kind of nonsense, this idea that being a Christian is all about having a clean slate and being seen by others as holy and good, we begin to think that we'd benefit by a fresh start in a new place. But this never really works, of course. As the old saying goes, wherever you go, there you are. You will be who you are wherever you are, and people will figure it out. You know, church hopping, friend hopping, town hopping, usually attempts just to reinvent ourselves when we've either failed to live up to our own or someone else's expectations in a place, or when a place has failed to live up to ours. But the truth is that Jesus Christ does not call you to reinvent yourself. He does not call you to try and leave all the old stuff behind and start anew. He calls you to confess the faith in whatever place he's called you to be, even if he has called you to stay put. You might not be in a different place, and you may still have to face all that you have been. But you can face it knowing that your Lord has joined you in it and made you his own. The pastor who served my congregation for the 27 years, most of my growing up years, his daughter just took over the congregation here a year and a half ago. And it was kind of funny because she came to Goodridge when she was probably 12, 13 years old, so people remember her. And she's got to try and serve this parish of people who remember her as a teenage girl. It's a complicated thing for her. Of course, when I go home and I preach, people remember me really well. And Kristen, the new pastor, remembers me very well also. Apparently, the first memory she has of me is when they were moving in to the parsonage, which was across the street from our house. And at that time, they were putting new sewer lines in Goodridge. They were extending the city sewer system out to where we lived. And so there were all these trenches dug up in the roads. And they were moving in. They were unpacking a pickup. And my older brother and I, he was 6 and I was 3, went out to the trench. We dropped our pants to our ankles and we just started taking a leak right into the trench. This is the first thing that she remembers about me. It's hard to go home, right? It's hard to go home and to talk to the new pastor when she knows too much. But this is the thing, that your baggage, right, and my baggage is not yours and it is not mine any longer. It belongs to Jesus Christ. He has made it his own. He has taken it as his so that you can be sent home in confidence that that old world that tells you that you are nothing more than the sum of sins, the sum of people's memories about you, all the failings, that this is not the final word. This is not the final word about you. Your Lord has another word to speak. Come and follow me. You are my own. All of the old things have been left behind, and I have them. They are tied up in my death. And you are a new creature, even if you are not in a new place, even if everybody remembers all the old. You are a new creature in me. So whether you are thrown into something or someplace new or stuck in the same old haunts, the message of this lesson from Mark is that finally you are at home in Christ Jesus. And I'd ask the people of God to please say amen to all this. Amen. Would you join me in singing the hymn of the day? The hymn of the day is number 581 in your red hymnals. 581, You Are Mine.